Hope that you're having a good Sunday today. And yesterday I got mixed reviews. Some people said, I am so glad it's not hot and humid like it was yesterday. And some people said, you know, it was great yesterday and today's freezing. So let's take a little survey. How many of you say the weather yesterday, that was my kind of weather? Raise your hand. Okay, how many say you love that it's cold today and there's no humidity? Okay, mixed reviews. That's what I thought. We are in the middle of a series, Stand, and today we're going to talk about standing strong, and we're going to look at a classic story in the Bible, Daniel in the lion's den, and we're going to be in Daniel chapter 6, and we're going to see Daniel serving under King Darius. Last time we looked at him, he was serving under King Nebuchadnezzar, and in Daniel's lifetime, he served under three different kings. And early on in the book of Daniel, Daniel was a young man. Now at this stage in his life, he's in his 80s. And some of you may say, that's still young, but Daniel's in his 80s, and this is the king that he's serving under is King Darius, so we switch kings and empires, so to speak, and King Darius is an administrative genius. This king is really known for administration and organization in his kingdom, and he quickly recognizes the skills that God has blessed Daniel with and the talents. And so that's where we're going to pick up this story as we jump right into our Bibles here in Daniel chapter 6 and look at a unique situation as we talk about standing strong. Let's look here in Daniel 6 verses 1 through 3. Darius the Mede decided to divide the kingdom into 120 provinces, and he appointed a high officer to rule over each province. The king also chose Daniel and two others as administrators to supervise the high officers and protect the king's interest. Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all the other administrators and high officers. Because of Daniel's great ability, the king made plans to place him over the entire empire. Well, what looks like a promotion from the outside actually produces a lot of trouble on the inside. What looks like a promotion from the outside actually produces a lot of trouble on the inside. The other two administrators get jealous. These guys are jealous of Daniel's rise to fame, so to speak, Daniel's new position. So they basically say, hey, we got to take this guy out. He's rising in the ranks. Who does he think he is? We need to take him out, and maybe we can get his position. Maybe we can get his role. Well, what does Daniel do? We're going to see that Daniel remains strong in spite of severe opposition. How does he do it? He does it because he puts his faith and his trust in God. So over the next few minutes here, the next few moments, I want to give you three truths to help you stand strong. To help you stand strong in life and where you're at right now and where God has placed you. The first one there and the first point on your bulletin, for those of you taking notes there on the back of your bulletin, is this. When God raises you up, expect people to tear you down. Boy, that sounds encouraging, doesn't it? When God raises you up, expect people to tear you down. I don't know how this is going to play out in your life. I don't know what this might look like, but maybe you get a promotion. And the people you think that should be most happy for you now in the situation you're in, they are the most mad. They're the most upset that you got this raise or their promotion. Perhaps they're thinking, I could do a better job than they could in this position. And they're not only jealous, but they're critical. Or maybe it's something like this. You decided you haven't been in church for a while, and you come to church, and you've decided, you know what, I'm going to go to church again. I'm excited. I found this church. I look forward to coming and hearing the message every week. And wow, I walk in here, and the people are so friendly, and they have free food after church today. I mean, my goodness, this place couldn't get any better. And then what happens, right? Your family doesn't like it. You're going to church, and they're like, you're going to what church? You're not going to our church. Or your friends think you're weird, or your coworkers, I don't understand. You've changed. You're now happy. I liked you when you were miserable, right? Or this is even weird. Your joy in the Lord, it even maybe will rub people the wrong way inside the church. And someone will say to you, well, you know, you don't know about this here, and let me tell you about this or that, and, you know, oh, well, I didn't know that. You mean Ed's getting new tires on his car for the winter months on his Honda Civic? I didn't know. Where does our money go? Maybe it's going toward his new tires. Well, thank you for sharing that. Well, I tried to tell you, you know, one day you'll settle down. You'll be miserable just like me. You'll see, right? So don't get too excited. Or how about this? Maybe you decide that you're going to downsize. You're going to get out of debt. You're going to make a decision to cut some things out of your life and really downsize. Or you may decide, you know what? I'm going to stay at home and be a stay-at-home parent, and I'm going to invest in the kids. And there are going to be some people who don't understand the decisions that you're making, and they're going to be critical. But you're going to say, you know, I don't care what they say. Why? Because I'm doing what God has called me to do. I'm doing what God has called me to do. So we could call this knocking people down to size the crab syndrome. What is the crab syndrome? Well, growing up in Michigan, we had a cottage in upper Michigan, not the UP, but in the northern part of Michigan on a lake called Higgins Lake. And we did a lot of dirt bike riding and fishing. And as a little boy, I used to like to collect those crawfish. They'd be under the rocks, and I'd put them in a bucket and play with them as 8 to 10-year-old boys do those things. And I put a bunch of those things in a bucket, and they would be crawling on top of each other trying to get out of that bucket. And as soon as one got remotely close to getting out of the bucket, another one would reach up with its claw and pull them back down. In essence saying, hey, you're not getting out of this bucket. If I can't be free, you can't be free. And sometimes people are like that, right? If they're miserable and hurting, they're going to make sure that everybody else around them is miserable and hurting. I'm going to pull you down. I'm going to make sure that you're not going to get any higher. So when God raises you up, you just need to expect that people are going to tear you down. It's going to happen, right? So that's the first truth, and to help you stand strong, be prepared, brace yourself. When God raises you up, expect people to tear you down. Let's get back to our story. Daniel 6, verses 4 and 5. Daniel 6, verses 4 and 5. Then the other administrators and high officers began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling government affairs. But they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. So that's pretty good. Daniel's doing a pretty good job. That, right? They can't find anything. He was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. So they concluded, our only chance for digging up some dirt or finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be in connection with the rules of his religion. That's our only chance. You know, Western Christianity says that if I'm living for God, if I'm trying to do something good for the Lord, then why would anyone be against me? I mean, I'm trying to live for Jesus. I'm trying to build up his kingdom, invite people to church, tell people the good news. Why would anyone be against that? Well, the truth is, and the reality is, that just isn't true. And we fight a much bigger battle. In fact, we're not really fighting against each other. Paul says in Ephesians 6:12, and you know this verse, for our struggle is what? Not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil. Where? In the heavenly realms. So there's a battle going on, and we're going to talk about that next week, a battle going on in the unseen world that we can't even see. And it's happening. So whenever we're moving the kingdom forward for Jesus, whenever we're moving his kingdom forward, we can always expect resistance. And you know, oftentimes it will come through well-meaning people. Right? Oftentimes it will come through people who mean well. I suppose Peter meant well when he said to Jesus, this shall never happen to you. Right? This shall never happen to you. In other words, Lord, you're not going to go to the cross and die for the sins of this world and for the people. No, that shall never happen to you. But in fact, this was the very thing Jesus was called to do. So here's a key statement there and a point on your bulletin. It's this. If you're not ready to face opposition for obedience to God, then you're not ready to be used by God. If you're not ready to face opposition for obedience to God, in other words, to take some ribbing, right, to take some joking, whatever it might be or whatever it might look like in your life, if you're not ready for that, then you're not ready to be used by God. And what we're going to see here in Daniel's life is that Daniel is standing out, he is standing up, and he is standing strong. And so these administrators are like, you know what? We're going to have to come up with another strategy, because this strategy we got right now, it's not working. So let's see. How about we go in and we try to butter up the king? And I don't know exactly what they said, but maybe they said something to the effect of this. Hey, king, you look good. Maybe you've been working out. I tell you, that would have worked for me. A few weeks ago, someone said to me, Ed, you're looking bigger. And I said, thanks. I'm just buying smaller shirts, but thank you. Right? So so they butter up the king. And basically, they say, hey, king, how about this? Over the next 30 days, we're going to issue, or you issue, because you're the king, you issue a law or a decree that no one can worship anyone but you. And if anybody worships any god but you over the next 30 days, let's just say you throw them into the lion's den. Well, how did the king respond? Well, that sounds good to me. I got no problem with people worshiping me, right? King's a little vain. Yeah, that sounds like a good plan. That's a great idea. Let's put that into motion. Let's sign that into law. Well, suddenly it's a problem for Daniel. It's a big problem for Daniel. Why? Because Daniel is known as a man of prayer. He's known as a man of prayer. And I thought about this. This is interesting to me. I thought, you know, what if people today would worry about you because you are known as a man of prayer or a woman of prayer, or we're known as a church of prayer? You know, I wonder, you know, if someone made a law like that today, how many people would worry about us and say, man, they're known as a person of prayer? That's very convicting if you think about it. What are you known for or as? Well, Daniel's known as a man of prayer. And so Daniel basically has three options. Option number one there on your bulletin is this. He could say, you know what? I'm going to take a month off. I'm going to take a month off. I'm in my 80s. I've been praying for decades. You know, what's that going to hurt, right? I'll just take a few months off from church. Right? It'll be okay. God, I'm better off alive than I am dead here in this place. So, right? No harm done. His second option, he could fake it and just pray silently. He could fake it and just pray silently. Somebody walks by, they see Daniel sitting there. What are you doing, Daniel? Just sitting here thinking. Are you praying? No, I'm not praying. Well, it looks like you're deep in thought. Looks like your mouth is moving, but words aren't coming out. No, just thinking about the Lions-Packers game today, right? I guess I'm the only one thinking about that, sorry. Option number three. What's the third option? The third option is pray out loud publicly and risk death. Pray out loud publicly and risk death. And Daniel is willing to do this. Why? Because his faith in God is so strong. He's willing to do it because his faith in God is so strong. Which leads us to our second helpful truth in helping you stand strong. And it's this. Second, kneeling is what gives you to pray. Kneeling to pray is what gives you the strength to stand. Kneeling to pray, getting down on these things, is what gives you the strength to stand. Let's continue there in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room. With its windows open toward Jerusalem, he prayed three times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God. You know, our first response to trials should never be to panic, but always to pray. And I got to tell you, I don't do a good job at this. My first response to a trial is to call all my best friends or my pastor friends or family and say, you won't believe what's happening. You won't believe what's going on or this or that or whatever it might be. Or I got this situation or I got this problem. And a lot of times my wife, Monica, will rebuke me and she'll stop me right in my tracks and say, you need to stop calling everybody and go straight to the Lord in prayer. Whew, that's a slap in the face. But it's true. You know, our language that we use, it often reveals how little we value the power of prayer. Our language that we use. We try to manipulate. We try to control. We try to do everything in our power. And then we say, well, what? Well, all we can do now is pray. Right? All we can do now is pray. Meanwhile, God's up there in heaven saying, well, now you're up a creek without a paddle because all you got is me. You're in big trouble now. Right? We have access to the creator and sustainer of the universe. The God who made the world and everything in it. The Lord of heaven and earth. That's who we have access to. He cares for our needs. In fact, 1 Peter 5:7, I love this verse, says this, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Are you ever anxious about anything? I don't know about you. I'm always anxious, right? Paul says in Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Cast your anxiety on him, because why? He cares for you. So, Daniel, he doesn't announce his prayers on the street corner. Right? He just quietly, in his own way, by faith, does what he always does, and he prays. he pre-decided what he was going to do. He pre-decided what he was going to do. He already knew. Why? Why did he pre-decide to pray three times a day? Because Daniel wanted to have continual intimacy with God. He wanted to focus on the presence of God, and so for three times a day, I'm praying to the Lord. If you don't have a plan to get to know God, then you're not going to get to know God. Wow, that's a profound statement. But if you don't have a plan to get to know God, you're not going to get to know God. No plan, then what? You're planning to fail. Right? For me, spending time alone with God in His Word every day, it's a non-negotiable. It's non-negotiable for me. I want to know God. And Paul says the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His suffering, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. I want to know Him. I want to become like Him. It's not just enough for me to read my Bible in the morning to spend time with Him, but I want to think about Him during the day and even at night, and again get into the Word and read about Him so I can become more like Him. Right? I become spiritually starved if I don't eat throughout the day from His Word and spending time with Him. And I don't know about you, but looks like a lot of you eat three meals a day. Right? But if you only ate once a day or once a week, right, this was your main spiritual source, you're going to be starved as a Christian. There's a lot of starving Christians out there today. They're barely living, barely making it, barely surviving. And God wants so much more for you. Now, Daniel was able to stand before men. Why? Why was Daniel able to stand up before men? Because he knelt before God. That's why he was able to stand. He knelt before God. See, you can't worship God with your arms crossed, your arms folded. You can't worship God that way, right? Whenever you get down on your knees and open yourself up to the Lord, it shows reverence, it shows humility, it shows dependence. God, I'm open, I'm here, I want to hear from You today. Speak to me, Lord. Reveal Yourself to me. I have such an awesome privilege I've been given this fall semester, and that is to do the football devotions for Luther at Luther College. And it's so neat. Yesterday morning was the second time here in the season for their home games that there's 120 players in there and coaches. And I know there's some in there who probably think I'm weird. Who is this guy talking to us about football and Jesus? And so I tell them, you know what? Pray that God would reveal Himself to you. Right? If you're not there yet, maybe you don't believe, just pray that God would show Himself to you. And it can be a simple prayer. God, just reveal Yourself to me. If I'm missing You, if I'm not seeing You, if my heart is hard, if I'm closed off to You, show me, Lord. Man, He shows us every day. Every time we walk outside and we see the blue sky and the beautiful leaves on the tree, God is showing Himself. It's all around. We just need to open up our eyes and see that He's there. Sometimes when I'm praying, I just can't get low enough. Right? On my knees isn't low enough. So I'll just lay flat out on the ground. Lord, here I am to You. Take me, take my hands, all that I am, my heart. I want You. When life gives you something that knocks you down, because life does, right? Life just keeps coming at you, knocking you down left and right. When life gives you something that just knocks you down, you simply seek God in prayer. Now, I don't know what you're going to take a stand for. I pray that you're not taking a stand for something going on here at this church or for me getting new tires, okay? I pray that you take a stand for something that matters, something going on in the world today. I'll tell you what eats me up, like human trafficking. All right, that just bothers me. Maybe you're going to take a stand for something in your neighborhood. Maybe you're a parent and you're going to take a stand against Little League. You're like, why am I going to take a stand against Little League? I don't know, because you're running your kids 7 days a week to ball practices and you have no time for yourself and for your family or for church now. Maybe you're going to take a stand in a relationship, right, with a boyfriend or a girlfriend. You know they're not the right one for you, or maybe they're pushing you to do things you don't want to do, and so you're going to take a stand. Maybe you're going to take a stand in your job, right? Maybe there's a business deal that's about to go down, but you just feel, you know what, this is just a little slimy. It lacks integrity. And you may say, well, what if I don't play college soccer someday? What if I don't get the scholarship? Well, what if I don't find a new boyfriend or a new girlfriend because I dumped this one? What happens, right? Or what if I don't get the promotion or the raise because I turn this deal down? I wish I could tell you that it will just all magically work out, but I can't tell you that. Daniel could have asked the question, well, what if the lions eat me? Right? And God doesn't rescue me. What if? Here's what I can promise you in the third point here. Here's what I can promise you. When you do what is right, you can always trust God with the results. Right? When you do what is right, you can always trust God with the results. Daniel didn't know the end of the story in the middle of the story, right? He didn't know that he'd be a Sunday school lesson for years to come, that he'd be on some flannel graph board, right, in Sunday school somewhere. He didn't know that in the middle, right? All he knew was that God had been faithful to him for 80 years. That's all he knew. In essence, he said, you know what? Whether God saves me or not, I trust him. I trust him. I trust him in my marriage. I trust him in my job. I trust him in my life. Whether he saves me or not, I'm just going to put my faith and trust in God and believe in him, that he's going to carry me through this circumstance, that he's going to carry me through this situation. I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe this is going to eat me up. It's going to eat my lunch. Maybe these lions or this situation is going to eat me up. Either way, I trust God. God's in control. Well, what happened? Well, the king was mad, because the king found out that two out of his three administrators, these two guys, they tricked him. They deceived him. And at this point, there was nothing he could do about it. Why? Because he had given his word. And so that night, he threw lion into the lion's den. He threw Daniel into the lion's den. Excuse me. He threw Daniel into the lion's den. And that night, the king, he couldn't sleep. In fact, he said, I don't even want to eat. Don't bring me my usual entertainment for the night. And very early in the morning, the king ran to the lion's den and he yelled out, Daniel, are you okay? Has the God whom you serve continually, because everybody knows you love God, has this God whom you serve continually day and night, was he able to rescue you? Was he able to save you from the mouths of the lions? And here's Daniel's response. Daniel 6, 22 and 23. My God sent his angel to shut the lions' mouths so that they would not hurt me. for I have been found innocent in his sight, and I have not wronged you, your majesty. The king was overjoyed and ordered that Daniel be lifted from the den. Not a scratch was found on him, and he had trusted in his God. He had trusted in his God. Do you trust in God? Do you really trust him? What happened next? The king threw those men and their families into the lion's den. And the moral of the story is simply this. When you do what is right, you can always trust God with the results. When you do the right thing, you can always trust God with the results. So do what's right. Do the right thing. And trust God with the results. Maybe you're here today and you say, Ed, there's some things going on in my life right now that are just kind of eating me up. And I'm having trouble doing the right thing. Right? Maybe you're having trouble being kind to someone. Right, that you don't want to be kind to. Maybe you're in a situation where you just feel like the lions are eating you up. We're going to pray for you here in a moment that God would give you the strength to stand strong in spite of the opposition that you may be facing. Maybe you're here today and you say, Ed, I don't know Jesus. I don't know him. I'm spiritually starved. I come to church once in a blue moon, but I'm just starving inside. There's something missing in my heart and in my life. I feel an emptiness there. And I realize that I've never asked him into my heart. I've never asked him to be my Lord and Savior, and I need to start afresh and anew today. We're going to give you the opportunity to do that here. Well, with that said, let's go to the Lord in prayer. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you say, Ed, I'm not a Christian. I don't have a plan, and my plan has been to live kind of self-sufficient and just kind of to do my own thing. And honestly, I come in here with arms crossed and folded, and I haven't opened myself up to God or the things of God, and I need to pray that prayer that you encourage the Luther football players to pray. Lord, reveal yourself to me. I want to see you, Jesus. Lord, I pray for those that have that desire. I pray that you'd reveal yourself to them, that you'd open up their hearts, open up their minds, that they'd see you in a new way today like never before. Maybe it's just through walking outside and observing your creation. Maybe it's through seeing you in other people. I don't have to come up with ways, Lord, because you reveal yourself in mysterious ways. And I just pray, Lord, that you do it. Maybe you're here and you say, Ed, no, I've seen the Lord. I recognize that I need him. I want to ask him to be my Lord and Savior. I'm ready to make that decision today. If that's you, then I want to lead you softly and quietly in a prayer as you repeat these words in your heart after me. And here they are. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I ask you to come into my heart and change me and make me like you. If you just prayed that prayer, God will honor that prayer. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Ed, I'm a Christian, but I just feel like there's some things that are just eating me up inside and I'm having trouble doing the right thing. Would you pray that God would give me the strength to do the right thing and to stand strong? Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ. Strengthen them. Help them to do what is pleasing in your sight. Speak through them by your Spirit and give them strength through the situation that they're in right now, that they may not only be able to endure, but to persevere, and that you might receive the glory, honor, and praise, and thank you now in advance for what you're going to do in their life. We pray all this, believing it. In Jesus' name, amen.